Henry, let's go someplace this afternoon.
What'd you say, honey?
Let's do something. Let's go someplace.
Oh, now who wants to do anything? This is a day of rest. This is Sunday afternoon.
The National Broadcasting Company presents The National Hour. Today, the National Hour, a mirror of American affairs, reflects the teeming variety of life in our nation. It presents a picture of people in action. It reveals something of the unique character of our land. Today, August the 11th, 1946, we present the 39th in the distinguished NBC series, The National Hour.
Woman, ladies and gentlemen, exactly as she's represented.
Our subject for today,
Sunday afternoon in America.
This is Robert St. John on a Sunday afternoon in New York City. Today, the National Hour is going to do what millions of Americans are doing at this very moment. Relaxing, having fun, loosening their belts. We are going to see how our fellow citizens are enjoying themselves on this Sunday afternoon. See what they're busy doing and what they're busy not doing. It's been many a year since Americans have had a chance, really, to enjoy themselves. War, with its inevitable restrictions, with its tragic burdens on the human soul, circumscribed our lives. But war is done now, and we are in the midst of the biggest, the most satisfying, the sunniest summer since 1940. A summer that finds America teeming with vacationists and Americans with an itch for doing things, especially on a Sunday afternoon. And so we are going to have fun along with them on this Sunday afternoon. We're going where they go, and you, you lucky ladies and gentlemen, are welcome to come along.
Henry, look at the street. Well, look at it. We're the only people staying home this afternoon.
Gee, this porch swing squeaks something awful.
You won't find another family spending Sunday afternoon on the front porch. Even the Johnsons have gone someplace.
I guess maybe I should oil it.
Henry.
Now, where'd I put that oil can? Let me see. I had it last out
Henry.
In the kitchen and I did... What is it, honey?
Oh, Henry, you're not even listening to me.
Sure, I'm listening to you.
Then let's do something this afternoon. Let's go to the beach.
What? Go to the beach?
Uh-huh.
Oh, now, honey, you're not serious.
Well, I certainly am.
On a Sunday? Why, it's like being caught in a subway.
Johnny, stop standing on your hands. All the blood will rush to your head.
Here,
eat a sandwich. Maybe that'll keep you still.
I want to take a swim first.
First eat, then you'll swim.
Hey, watch out where you're running.
Oh, sorry, last one of the boys about now. Did you ever see such crowds? You can't even see the ocean. How's the sandwich, Johnny?
What sandwich?
What sandwich? The sandwich I gave you.
I didn't get no sandwich.
Well, I passed it to you.
I didn't get no sandwich.
Then who took it? Somebody took it.
Hey, who took my sandwich? Hey, who took the sandwich my mother gave me?
Sure, the beaches are crowded. Millions of Americans go there on a Sunday afternoon to escape the heat of the cities and the burden of clothing. They bring harmonicas and ukuleles. They swim, they sing, they go acrobatic. In spite of the crowds, they go, for there's fun at the beach on a Sunday afternoon. This year, there are greater crowds than ever. The newspapers keep reporting record attendance at the beaches. I think it's time to take a look at tomorrow's headlines. In order to do that, the National Hour now takes you to one of the greatest seaside amusement places in all the world. We take you to Coney Island. Come in, Coney Island.
This is Bob Sherry speaking to you from just off the boardwalk here at Coney Island. It's a brilliantly sunlit Sunday, August afternoon, and as you might expect, ladies and gentlemen, there are, well, literally, I suppose, a million people here at Coney Island this Sunday. Standing alongside me to answer the questions I have in my mind about this huge crowd is an officer of the New York City Police Department. His name is Officer Charles Burns. Officer Burns, I understand you're a native of Coney Island.
That's right.
Well, then, during these past years that you've been on the force, you've seen Coney Island crowds come and go. This is quite one here this Sunday, isn't it?
It certainly is.
How does it compare with last year, would you say?
Well, not as much. Had less this year than we had last year.
Actually, well, that's quite a surprise. We'd anticipated there might be more. Well, what's your own personal guesstimate about the size of the crowd here at Coney Island today?
About 800,000 to a million.
Roughly 800,000 to a million. Well, we always read in the papers that officials estimated that so-and-so many people were at Coney Island yesterday. Just how do they arrive at those estimates?
Well, it's mostly guesswork, but if they want to get fairly accurate, they take the fares collected going home from the railroads and trolley cars and estimate another 10,000 or 20,000 in automobiles.
Actually, it's a pretty rough guess at the most.
Guess, yeah.
Well, thank you very much for that information, Officer Charles Burns. And now we return you to the National Hour in New York.
The flies crawl all over you, and you get sand in your food, and you get thirsty. Oh, no, honey. The beach ain't such a good idea.
Well, you get a good idea, Henry Smith. I'm not going to spend Sunday afternoon on the front porch.
Well, now, the porch ain't
Henry,
so bad.
Henry, I said I won't. I'm waiting for a good idea.
Well, I might take in a baseball game.
A ball game? Well, the last time we went, you didn't talk to me for 2 days.
Mister, would you be so kind as to stop bobbing like a jumping bean in front of me? I'd like to see the game.
You've got my apologies, bud. I'll contain my enthusiasm.
My appreciation.
Don't mention it.
What did he do, Charlie?
What did he do? He stole home, that's what he did.
Stole it? Do they do anything to him for that?
Bobby's robbing us!
Called him out. Lump's robbing us. Go on, you bum. You're robbing us.
But I don't understand, Charlie.
You don't understand what?
You said the umpire's robbing us. But it was the other fella that stole home, wasn't it?
Hundreds of thousands of Americans are sitting in grandstands and bleachers right now, this afternoon. Baseball, perhaps more than any other sport, is best beloved by Americans. And like some enormous magnet, the great stadiums attract excited throngs on a Sunday afternoon. What summer Sunday would be complete without the mighty roar from the bleachers or the tense silence when it's two out and the bases are loaded and a slugger's at the plate? These are memorable moments for millions of American baseball fans. Now, we're going to add to those memorable moments. The National Hour is going to take you to a spot in a ballpark where you've never been before. In fact, we are now going to unveil one of the mysteries of our national sport. Come in, Yankee Stadium.
This is Dick Dudley speaking to you from Yankee Stadium, where the Boston Red Sox are meeting the New York Yankees in one of the most crucial doubleheaders of this American League series. Standing beside me here is Jeff Ingenito. He's a man who sees every game the Yankees play. And you'll understand why he sees all those games when Jeff tells us just where we are and what he does.
Well, we're right in the scoreboard now. We have about over 70,000 fans at the stadium.
And they're all looking up at this scoreboard where
they're
we
all,
are today.
They're all looking at this scoreboard right now.
Well,
as
Jeff,
As what? As the game is going on.
And it's going along right at the moment. Well, why don't you tell us something about the operation of this jigsaw puzzle you have back here?
Well, you see, there's four of us work the board here. Now, I have a man at the balls and strike, and there's three of us upstairs that runs on the outside teams, the National League and American League. Well, it comes over the ticket.
How can you possibly tell whether it's a hit or a strike or a run or an error from up at this vantage point, which is really
a We have a flash of call here from the press box, and when they flash it, we give the sign as a hit or an error.
Well, tell me this. Can you call them from up here?
Right. I can call them from at the board.
That's been 27 years of practice.
That's right.
Well, now that we're here at the scoreboard, how about that fine information of what is the score?
The score is now 6-4 favor Boston.
6-4 in favor of Boston. Well, that's what we wanted to know. Thank you, Jeff and Junito. And now we return you to the National Hour in New York.
Our American way of life is reflected in our crowds, and on Sunday afternoon, the crowds reveal the profound variety and interests of those who dwell in this land. While multitudes go to ball games and beaches, thousands of others are on vacation this Sunday afternoon, sailing, playing tennis, pitching horseshoes. In the amusement parks, throngs are taking a chance on a spinning wheel or listening to the machine gun voice of a barker.
All right, folks, step right up and see the bird woman. Exactly as you see her on the painting. She eats like a human, but she trills like a bird. Yes, sir, step up, ladies and gentlemen. Don't block the walk there. Step up.
I want to get in for another match.
Come on, beat it. Come on, get out of here, you kids. Only 10 cents to see her. One dime shows you the bird woman in her gilded cage. And if she isn't just as she's represented, you get some money back. No questions asked. All right, folks, step right up. Listen, you kids, swear and bamboos, beat it. What's that? No, lady, she doesn't live in the trees. She wants a love nest, just like you and me.
But there are always some citizens of our land who never get to do anything at all.
That's the second mosquito in the last 2 minutes.
It's getting light, Henry.
There must be a hole in that screen.
Henry, if you go fixing that now, I'll... Oh, half the Sunday afternoon's gone already. I want to go someplace.
You sure you don't want to go to a ball game?
I should say not.
Jeepers, these mosquitoes. I better get a spray gun.
Henry Smith, if you don't take me someplace this afternoon, I'm not going to speak to you.
All right, honey. Where do you want to go?
Well, let's... I'll tell you what. Let's go on a picnic.
A picnic?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, baby, please, not that.
Oh, why not?
Oh, more mosquitoes and ants crawling all over you. Oh,
Henry.
No, honey. Look, I'll get the spray gun, and I'll make this front porch as good as any picnic you ever saw. A picnic, honey, it's a pain in the neck.
All right. The ladies won the three-legged race. Now, everybody, get your partners for the square dancing.
You're my partner, Lil.
Hey, look at that. I'm stuck with me own wife.
You're my beau at last, Mr. Jones.
Oh, that's quite
a
compliment.
And in the way.
All over the nation, outings and picnics are going on this Sunday afternoon. Kiwanis, fraternal organizations, lodges, unions, mothers' clubs, and the sound of their fun forcefully reminds us what Sunday and summer mean. But why talk about it? Let's go to an outing, to a picnic near Chicago.
This is Bud Thorpe speaking to you from Lincoln Park in Chicago at North Avenue Beach, one of the 14 public beaches stretched along Chicago's 28-mile lakefront. According to present indications, 17 million people, 2 million more than last year, will swim here this summer. Among this multitude is an especial group here for a picnic, Catherine Skeffington's Singing Grandmothers. Mrs. Skeffington, I understand you organized your group in 1941 with 30 members. Will you tell us why?
For our own pleasure, to give pleasure to others, and to glorify grandmotherhood.
And I understand you've given 75 concerts, 81 minstrel shows, and played many return engagements at veterans' hospitals. What is the age range of your group?
Our youngest grandmother is 39, our oldest is 82, and they have 100 children and 78 grandchildren.
And now, let's hear you sing.
All right, girls, your land and my land.
Your land and my land is the best land of all. Free down for the great and the small. So lift it behind
We'd like to hear more of the singing grandmothers, but now it's time to learn what others are doing this Sunday afternoon. So now, back to the National Hour in New York.
America relaxing, taking it easy, having fun. Crowds pouring from city and town on this Sunday afternoon. Does your street appear deserted? Well, it should, for this is Sunday afternoon during the biggest summer since the war.
Henry.
Yeah, honey.
I'll wear my new dress, Henry. The one you like.
You sure look pretty in that dress, Mary.
I'll put my hair up, too, Henry.
You look like $1 million, honey.
And then we can go someplace this afternoon, huh, Henry?
Well, with you pretty as a picture, I certainly ought to show you off. Where we go, baby?
Well, let's go to the zoo, huh?
Oh, honey, the zoo. Oh, no. You gotta walk too much.
Oh, Henry.
Not the zoo, darling. We might just as well stay here and
Henry
be nice.
Henry Smith, you're impossible. I'm going inside.
Oh, no, wait a minute, honey. Can you beat that? A zoo on a Sunday afternoon.
Some of peanuts, Joe.
Here.
He's a pretty big lion, isn't he?
Yeah.
Got lots of fur, huh?
Yeah.
That must be his way of talking. What do you think he's saying?
Maybe he's hungry.
He looks like the king of the jungle, don't he?
Yeah.
He eats 25 pounds of raw meat a day. That boy I used to go out with told me. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Can you imagine getting caught in a jungle with that thing?
Yeah.
Can I have another peanut, Joe?
Yeah.
75,000 people were reported in one zoo on a recent Sunday afternoon. Just imagine the tons of peanuts, popcorn, and Cracker Jack that disappeared that afternoon. Most Americans go to the zoo, but just occasionally. We're now going to introduce to you someone who's there every day. To meet him, we take you now to the zoo in Fleischlager Park, San Francisco.
Good afternoon. This is a wolf at the zoo. Harold Wolf at Fleischlager Zoo in San Francisco, to be exact, where NBC has brought its portable microphone to find out from lion keeper Fred Romer what Sunday afternoon at the zoo is like. At this moment, we're located on the balcony of the keeper's quarters overlooking a portion of the mammoth San Francisco Zoological Gardens. Now, Mr. Romer, it's slightly after noon here in San Francisco, and already the crowds have begun gathering in larger numbers, despite a somewhat foggy day. Would you say that the number of visitors today will compare favorably with other Sunday crowds?
I sure do, Hal. The way things look now, we're going to have a large crowd again this afternoon.
By the way you said again, I'd gather it's not an uncommon occurrence out here, Fred. What kind of crowds have you been having in general?
Well, our best crowd last year was about 13,000 visitors in one day. This year, we've already beat that record by 3,000, and we haven't hit the peak of the summer season as yet.
Well, Fred, as the man primarily concerned with the lions, would you say your charges get top billing at the zoo?
Well, I'm afraid we have to play second fiddle to the monkeys. But next to them, the king of beasts draws top interest.
In the background, we heard a bit of that miniature train as well as the laughter of the crowd watching some of those same monkeys. Well, Fred, how many lions do you have here?
We've got 12 adults and 2 cubs as of this year.
Any housing difficulties for them?
No, as a matter of fact, no one seems anxious to share their lodging with them.
Well, looking down on them from here, I think I'll take a park bench myself. They have a lean, hungry look. I wouldn't want to be the one to satisfy. Incidentally, how much do they eat?
Well, one of them eats from 15 to 20 pounds of raw meat a day.
Any prime ribs in that?
No, it's all horse meat. But to hear some of our visitors, you'd think we were feeding them T-bone steak.
Well, at that, they're being served better than in their native state.
They're not only fed more regularly, but they do their eating for the benefit of most of the visitors at the zoo. More people gather at feeding time than in any other period.
Well, speaking of food, it's about our lunchtime out here, so we'll be going. Thanks to you, lion keeper Fred Romer. This is Harold Wolf speaking. And now back to the National Hour in New York.
Millions of Americans this Sunday afternoon have gone to the zoos, the beaches, the ball games. They're swimming, riding, playing games. They're at museums, concerts, at the top of mountains, gazing across some inspiring view. But all of us, whether we're doing it or not, have our ideal Sunday afternoon, our dream afternoon. All week long, we embroider that dream while we pound a typewriter or throw a lever or sweat in a cornfield. We picture that perfect Sunday afternoon, and it tempts us like a cold glass of water on a hot, humid day. Perhaps the dream is surfboard riding, or maybe flying a private plane, or listening to a concert. Or it may be, entirely possible, just doing nothing at all.
Oh, honey, come on out in the porch again. I can't talk to you through a window.
Go away, Henry. I'm not talking to you.
I'll make some lemonade for you, honey. Maybe I'll run down to the corner and get some ice cream, too. Oh, come on, honey. Let me make you some lemonade, huh?
No.
Why not, honey?
I'll tell you why not, Henry Smith. All afternoon you've been sitting on the porch in that swing. I've been asking you to do something because it's Sunday. And all you can think of is lemonade. That's why not. I offered to wear my prettiest dress, comb my hair the way you like it, and all you can say is lemonade.
But, honey, what's the matter with making lemonade and sitting on the porch and drinking it? Well, that's just my idea of a perfect Sunday afternoon.
Sure, to lots of people, sitting on our own front porch is a perfect Sunday afternoon. But the real dream Sunday of most Americans is one spent in our own private swimming pool, dangling our feet in cool, clear water that belongs to us. Tile bottom, reclining chairs, tall, cool drinks. A Hollywood dream, to be exact. Well, the National Hour can't make such a dream come true, but we can do the next best thing. We can take you to that dream. We take you now to Hollywood, to the home of Edgar Bergen, for a visit on a Sunday afternoon.
Aubrey Eisen speaking from the Edgar Bergen home in Hollywood. And here at the Bergen residence, Bella Vista, high atop a mountain, we find around the swimming pool Edgar Bergen, his wife Frances Bergen, their four-month-old daughter Candy, and their guest Chester Morris, the well-known actor, and Peter Godfrey, prominent motion picture director, and Dr. Clifford Lewes and Frank Ricosa. Incidentally, Mr. Bergen, Morris, and Godfrey are three of the best-known amateur magicians in the United States and meet frequently to talk shop and baffle each other. From our vantage point, Los Angeles is clearly visible stretched beneath us, and around us, just a hop-skip distant, are homes of many prominent in show business. And oh yes, Charlie McCarthy and Mortimer Snerd are late to the party, but undoubtedly will be arriving in a moment. So let us join the group, huh?
Edgar, how long have you been a mountain climber? That's what I want to know.
Chester, I'm glad you and Peter came up this afternoon. We're going to have hamburgers after a while and lemonade.
Oh, lemonade, fine.
Well, it's worth the trip for the hamburger, maybe.
I think so. Edgar, what's that totem pole over there?
Well, that's Barrymore's place over there, Chester.
Oh, really?
And as I understand it, Barrymore... He got that totem pole up in Alaska off some island when he was on a fishing trip.
Oh,
up there.
That's very interesting. What's the big white house over there?
That's Ginger Rogers over there.
Uh-huh.
I say, Edgar, can I go in the pool now?
Yes, would you please?
Oh, fine. Well, first of all, I'd like to tell a funny English story.
Go in the pool, Peter.
All right.
Is it short?
No, it's rather long. It'll take about 5 minutes.
I see.
If you'd like me to tell it, I mean, it might be rather entertaining for the people.
Yeah, maybe we could arrange for a sponsor on another evening.
Yes, fine.
Say, Peter, what tricks are you going to do this afternoon?
Well, I thought of doing the Chinese ring.
Oh, I was going to do that.
No, I'm going to do the Chinese rings, and then I'm going to do the disappearing handkerchief.
Well, Edgar's going to do that.
Are you going to do the disappearing handkerchief?
Well, I don't know. It's not a new trick. I like the zombie.
It is the way you do it, Edgar.
Yeah.
Yes,
you know,
good.
When I do tricks, nobody says, how do you do them? Why do you suppose that is? They never ask me. I think it's courtesy, don't you?
Yeah, well, they see through the thing, and there it is.
There's something you
something
have to,
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, anyway.
Is that Charlie Boyer's there, the white roof?
No, Boye lives over there, and Ginny Sims lives right below in the next house.
I say, can I go in the pool now?
Now, will you wait, Peter?
By the way, Catherine Hepburn lives in John Barrymore's place here now.
Oh, she does.
And right above there was the
was Jack Gilbert's place. And now...
Never mind, Edgar. Here comes the baby.
Up there.
Well, well, look who's here. Looks just like you, too.
Look, hey, Edgar, this is your child.
Oh, yes.
Isn't she adorable?
Yeah. Candace, come on.
I'm afraid she won't talk. She's not very good at ad-libbing, you know.
Baby's
she's
first time on the
today.
Say something, say something.
Come on, sweetie.
That's her own opinion, not necessarily that of the sponge.
Oh, Bergen.
All right, Charlie. Now, come on, get out of the pool now, Mortimer. We got to go and do a benefit this afternoon. We're going over to the hospital, you know, and do a show.
Okay. Can I take one more dive?
Well, all right, then.
I'm going to do my standing, sitting, squatting, half-gainer, belly flopper.
Yeah.
You see, I'm studying for my scout exam.
Oh, that's fine.
I have to swim 50 yards. All right. Here I go.
All right.
One more get away. You want me to join you?
You stay right there, Marty, and I'll do the dive. All right. Here we go.
And now, back to the National Hour in New York.
And so, having paid a visit to a dream and having visited many places in this land of ours, a beach, a ball game, an outing, a zoo, so ends for the National Hour a perfect Sunday afternoon.
Henry, I'm sorry I got mad.
Oh, that's all right, honey.
Let's kiss and make up.
Sure, baby. Now, come on. Sit down on the swing with me, huh? Snuggle up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that's better, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, honey, I've been kind of mean to you this afternoon. I'm sorry. And even if it is a little late, I'm willing to take you anywhere you say. No, I mean it this time, honey. Anywhere you say.
You know, Henry, it's not so bad spending Sunday afternoon on the porch. As a matter of fact, it's real nice.
On the subject, Sunday afternoons in America, then, our documentary is closed.
But this is Robert St. John inviting you to listen to the National Hour again next Sunday, when our subject will be A Plane in Every Garage.
This has been the National Hour. From our studios in New York and from Chicago, San Francisco, and Hollywood, the National Broadcasting Company has presented the 39th of a series on American affairs. Robert St. John was your narrator. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.